Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name's Ed.
And I'm Amanda.
We are here at Words on the Waves 2026, and we're speaking to Kate Holden, who is the author of The Ruin of Magic.
And we chatted about the horrors, basically, of the world and maybe a little bit of hope in amongst all of that and how we move towards a life that's sort of full of joy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a conversation that we all need to have at the moment. So
in these trying times. So here's our discussion with Kate Holden. So we are here at Words on the Waves with Kate Holden. How are you, Kate?
I'm really well this morning, thank you.
So tell us about what brings you to Words on the Waves this year.
Oh, well, this is my first time. I have not been here before, but I'm very impressed with it. And I'm here because I've got a new book called The Ruin of Magic, which is my fourth book, and it's called Longing and Belonging in Strange Times. And I thought, if I came up with that title, I thought that pretty much hits it. It's a little bit hard to describe because it's six different essays which cover a bit of ground, but it's all about being in this, you know, strange modern world of ours and how do we find our place.
So what is it that you would like people to know about your book?
Well, I am on a panel shortly with one other author, Jennifer Mills, who's been writing a book with Ursula Dibasarsky, which is on a similar theme. And I guess we'll be talking about what is very germane to the subject of my book, which is how to bring enchantment back into the kind of the dreary grey of modern life. And in my book, it's not a 15 ways to re-enchant your life kind of listicle thing, but it's just a look at how maybe we don't even notice how grey and drab and kind of silenced our lives have become sometimes. And I think noticing is a really good place to start. And then once you've noticed things, not getting stuck in the despair, but then moving through and remembering that we've always known ways to be enchanted.
Mm. We were actually just talking before we were recording about, I guess, lack of connection and things in the modern world. What kind of things do you think are missing from the modern experience?
Oh, well, I speak as one myself, I suppose, but I'm struck by the narcissism that we live amongst, which is that people are forgetting that other people are other people. And I think that's you really do have to remember that when you're working in society, because if you see every other person as an impediment or something to get past or something to beat or something to race towards, race against towards something else, then you live in a lonely world, right? Mm. And other people are all your enemy. I think our society is tending to squish us towards that conclusion because there's quite a lot of kind of predatory behavior out there. Mm. Either from kind of the commercial world, trying to like get stuff off you and invading your space, or really other people. But that embattled kind of mentality, I think, is so perilous because you start forgetting how wonderful other people are and that they are also your allies.
And I think as well, we live in that commercial world 24/7 now because we spend a lot of time online, whereas previously we may have been more social and more spending time in actual real world groups. So I don't know, what do you think is the antidote to that?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of fear about other people. The contagion of other people maybe is something that we're afraid of. Contagion literally in terms of viruses, but contagion more kind of psychically, that you might be somehow infected with the wrong view by someone else or the wrong association. There's a paranoia, I think, in a lot of circles. And then also people have just not got enough time or energy to socialize. Mm. I know I'm terribly guilty of this. I go home and I think, well, I could go out and see people, but I could just stay home.
Yeah.
And being of a kind of introverted nature in the first place, the scales tip pretty fast to the couch. And I don't know that everyone has to go out and madly, gallivanting, but remembering that seeking other people's company is not a trial or an ordeal. It's supposed to be joyful and also sometimes a surprise because you just don't always know what you're actually going to get, do you?
Yeah, there's probably that underlying anxiety that precedes any kind of social interaction, and it only gets worse when you feed it by avoiding the social interaction. But I think it's interesting that writing in particular is one of those fields where you don't necessarily compete against each other. You know, there's always more readers, than there are books, really, because it takes so long to produce a book. And so you can see each other more as contemporaries rather than like your competition.
Yes.
Whereas in some fields, it's maybe not the case.
Oh, I think we all feel we're in the trenches together.
Yeah.
We're all in the same battlefield.
Yeah.
Definitely. I've always really enjoyed the writing world because it's been very embracing for my debut, which was 20 years ago. People went out of their way to guide me and help me and encourage me. I was really lucky before I did my very first ever big public appearance, which was a big one, and I was very shy. And someone said, go and talk to Christos Tsolkos. He's lovely. He's going to be on the panel with you. He's really nice with new writers. And he was. He took me out for a coffee. He hosed me down. He said nice things. He said, you know, you'll be fine. And it was true. Everyone's always been really lovely, and the social life of it is great. We often get people who are a little bit nervous. So there's sometimes a bit of like nervous jibber jabber.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really do think that there's a very collegial atmosphere. And also a lot of us teach writing as well. So we're also bringing up new voices, not seeing them as a threat, but thinking that, you know, there's plenty of room, even though publishing is in such a, you know, tight squeeze these days. Yeah, we're all very much of a particular type, I guess, writers. But again, like we're very varied as well. So we can enjoy each other's company and exploring the differences that we have. So coming to a writers' festival is great for that because I get to hear everyone else's opinions and experiences.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you've made a career out of writing now. So if you look back 20 years ago, is that a goal that you had or did you kind of fall into it?
Oh, well, I set myself towards the cliff edge and I chunked myself over it.
Okay.
I was at a position in my life I had no other options apart from to do the extremely impractical one of signing up to a graduate diploma in creative writing and editing, which was not the most vocationally kind of likely thing to do. But I knew I'd be okay. I knew that was where I was going to find my people. And I did. And out of that program, I got my first book published. And so I've been a professional writer ever since. And I'm very glad because I honestly don't know what else I would have done.
Yeah, hard to look back now and imagine it any other way.
Yeah, yeah, but I had good instincts, I think. I took three tries to get into that program and I kept trying and eventually they let me in. This week I signed up to go back and do an author talk at the program, which is a nice, you know, go back and as the adult kind of thing.
That's it.
So The Ruin of Magic is your latest book. How have the themes that you're tackling, are they consistent across your writing or have you previously explored other ideas? Is this a new direction for you?
It does seem like a bit of a change in direction for me because this is a book of six essays, kind of literary essays, I suppose you'd call them. And my first two books were memoirs. And then my third book was a very different thing, which was a kind of a combined history, true crime, cultural critique, a discussion about a whole lot of things centering on environmentally based murder and a review of kind of Australia's colonial history. So it was a bit of a lot of different things. And this seems very different. This is, again, kind of quite personal essays. But I feel like it relates to all of them because it's got the kind of the personal perspective that I had in my first two books. It's got my kind of questing curiosity and, well, I should say bamboozlement at the world. And my first two books were partly about my naivety. And then it's got this interest in reviewing where we've come from and why we are as we are now, which I was working through in my third book, The Winter Road. And it's also just, I guess, about legacies like the other ones, which is that we have set up a whole lot of things in our world and, you know, through history of colonization and Western mentalities, philosophies and literature. I'm tracing partly where have we come through and why have we ended up here with the mix that we've got. And in fact, what could we maybe snatch back from the past? Having said that, I've got to just mention that my book is also a little bit of a critique of nostalgia because as soon as I go, oh, it was so much nicer in the past, I think, oh, but was it really?
Yeah.
Or who am I getting, you know, onto a couch with if I start saying those kind of things? So it's a book which is really about me questioning why do I feel so lonely and alienated in this world? And am I the only one? I think not. And then how have we got here and what can we maybe do about that?
I mean, it's an interesting way to approach that problem if you realise you're feeling lonely and disconnected to then go on your own and write a book about it.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like getting out of the situation because I could say, I'm lonely and alienated because I'm writing a book and I simply must sit here at my cafes reading, you know, German poetry, like a lunatic. And I live in a community which is not unlike here in the Central Coast. So there's lots of beachy people in, you know, leisure wear. And there's me, you know, in my Edwardian blouses reading, you know, the German romantics. So what do I expect? Of course, I'm a bit, you know, of a weirdo. But I guess that's the the privilege of being a writer is that you get to go in and out. You know, I can go out and look at the world, and noticing is something obviously writers do, and I'm a good noticer, and then go back in and digest it and write, you know. So I had a great time for, you know, about 10 weeks just burrowed in my study, you know, with piles of books. But then I had to come out. And part of the coming out is coming to do festivals and promotion and stuff, which is also really cool, I realize. I forget.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was very nice to meet you, Kate.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck on your panel.
Thank you. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing.
Something doesn't seem quite right.